Are you glad to be in church today? Amen. It's a good day to be alive. Thank the Lord for helping us. We had, the girls from Mexico for the last 2 weeks, and they went home yesterday. And I thank the Lord for helping us and giving us strength. And, you know, we had 11 of them that whole time. So, and they was all leaving out yesterday morning and crying and didn't want to leave Sister Bethany. And so, it was just a wonderful time. Y'all probably, most of you know about the one girl that was deaf, and how we prayed for her so much when she came here. And she was deaf. Sister Bethany just really started praying for her every night in devotions and different things. And on Wednesday night, most of y'all was here, and you may have left. Those girls stayed and prayed till almost midnight. And I guess it was sometime right after 11 or maybe a little before that or something, she began to be able to hear. And she hadn't heard anything. You know, maybe she had her hearing aid and she could just read lips and things, but she began to be able to hear, and she could. It was so amazing. Some of y'all may have still been here. But she couldn't understand or comprehend it, but she could hear. And I remember she is sitting right over here on the floor, and she just turned and looked at the piano. The other girl was playing the piano. She turned and looked at the piano. She could hear that piano playing. And I know the Lord has not finished the work because it's a lot of static, but she can hear snaps and claps. And on Friday when we was eating, I wanted to make sure, you know, that it was any different or any better or whatever. So I was asking her, and the Lord had definitely touched her while she was here. And those girls was praying for her, and they testified about it afterwards. Matter of fact, Wednesday night when I left out of church up here, I looked up at the clock and it was 10 till midnight. So I kind of felt like I was in Mexico there for a minute. That's the way they have church down there. Just keep going and going and going. And but it was a great experience to see that and how that the Lord touched her. But those girls got there. She had a hearing aid and she could make out some stuff with that hearing aid. And another girl, she testified and said the Lord told her to crush that hearing aid. And they testified that that hearing aid cost $6,000. And here's this little girl, and, you know, that's basically an orphanage. And I know it's a school, on the legal part, it's a school, so it's growing, and it really is a college. And I know the director, he likes us to call it college, and, you know, because he wants to promote it and all that. But these girls have come out of Mexico and was there with his wife when she passed away in 2015. And she was just a mother to all of them. But they, on the legal part, they used it as a school. And those girls are here legally, all of them, you know, had their passports and things like that even up here. And some of them, you know, or actually one of them, I think, is American citizen. And she attends the school there. And so maybe she might could even come back up here some or something like that, you know, because she's actually never even been in Mexico. And her name is Maggie. And I think Brother Michael back there in the sound booth remembers her name real good. But anyways, that girl crushed that hearing aid. And I saw her with a tissue in her hand. And I could see she was just doing like this. And when I was praying here, and she was crushing that hearing aid. Now, that was a great step of faith for that girl. And she testified, both of them testified, and she said she began to call that the deaf girl's name. And she said as soon as she began to call her name, she turned and looked, and she could hear her calling her name. And I know that, and it's really strange. I don't understand all that God's doing. I can't understand how that she can hear snaps and claps unless it's something to do with the language. You got to understand, we was there praying, and I thought, look, we've got somebody that can't hear. If they could hear, they couldn't understand me. And then we had was praying with Brother Finney and his son. They were speaking in Malayalam. So we had Malayalam, Spanish, English, and then we was praying in the Holy Ghost a lot. And so, I mean, you know, you're talking about a lot of different things going on, but God was helping her and touching her. Isn't that wonderful? And so I thank the Lord. Y'all, let's continue to pray for her. Her name is Rose. And pray for these girls that the Lord would help them, okay? Pray that God will touch them. And it was a big chore to have them. And Sister Bethany probably ain't running the aisles this morning because she's wore out. But she might be here in a little while. You never know. But, you know, it was tiring and costly and different things like that. But I believe that the Lord really blessed and helped. And I give the Lord praise for it. And I thank God for it. Amen. Our scripture reading will come from the book of Luke. Luke chapter 15. The Bible says in Luke 15 and 11, and he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said unto his father, Father, give me the portion of the goods, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he went and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my fathers have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and so Lord, to help me today. Lord, we thank you for the privilege. Thank you for the privilege to be in your house. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness in bringing us safely here. Pray, Lord, that you help us today. I pray, Lord, that you touch us, that your spirit would help us, Lord. God, that you would just have your way. I thank you for it, Lord, today. We need your strength. We need your anointing, Lord. We need your power. God, your grace to be with us. And I thank you for it, Lord. And give you praise, Jesus, in your holy name. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. This is a very familiar scripture to us. No telling how many thousands, if not millions, of messages have been preached on the prodigal son. No telling how many books have been written about the prodigal son. He come home. He come back to the father. When he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion. He welcomed him back home. I believe today that the same father that was standing and looking down that dusty road and saw that wayward son returning home is standing today looking, amen, for a prodigal to come back to him. This prodigal son, he did not make the right choice in leaving the father's house. It was the wrong choice. It was steps down. Any steps away from God, any road away from God is a downward road. It does not lead up. It leads down. You read about Samson. Amen. Samson, who was used of God and he turned away from God. And the Bible talks about he went down. He went down. He went down. He was constantly going down. And here we have the prodigal son who was going down. And reconciliation. 7 steps down to ruin and 7 steps up to reconciliation. It's just like going down 7 steps, then come back 7 steps. Now I'm glad that the Lord can help us. We're going to look right here at these scriptures, amen, and preach to us today. The Lord, amen, is still welcoming us. They wrote a song, said, come home. Come home, amen. Come back home to Jesus Christ. Come back home to the Father. I know y'all probably heard the story. It got real popular when the Kingsmen Quartet recorded, amen, a song, and Jim Hamill told that story on there, and they've played it. You've probably heard it, where the preacher was sitting in the train. He looked over, and there's a young man sitting there. He seems all distraught, and seems like he saw maybe even some tears, and he begins to look and watch. He could tell that this young man is in great distress, and so he goes and sits by him. He says, son, are you doing okay? And that small talk or however it goes, and he says, I'm a preacher, can I help you? And he said, well, he said, I, my mom and dad was good to me. And he said, I got rebellious, and I started disobeying, doing all this stuff. And he said, one day I hit my dad. He said, I hit him, and he said, I had to leave home. He said, my dad told me to leave. And he said, I've been gone for however long it was I've been away. And he said, I haven't had no contact with my mom and dad. And he said, I need to go back home. And he said, I wrote a letter and told my mom and dad that this train track comes by their property. And he said, I told my mom and dad that there's no way they could write me a letter back, but if they would forgive me, and they would give me another chance, and they would accept me back home, said they could tie a white rag, in the top of that old apple tree out there by the train tracks, and I'll pass their house first, and pass the old farm first, and said, if I see that rag, I'll get off at the train station. Said, but if the rag ain't in the tree, then I'll just stay on the train, and I'll go on. I'll live my life, and I'll never come back home. But if they've forgiven me, the story goes that the preacher and the son sat there a while, and the preacher tries to tell him, I'm sure your mom and dad will forgive you and let you back home and all this. So they come up there, and he says, preacher, we're almost to the place. We're almost around the bend. If you'll just start watching. He said, I can't look. He said, I'm sure there won't be no rag in the top of that old tree. I'm sure there won't be no, there won't be. He said, but if you'll just look and tell me, just in case there was. He said, the preacher said, he looked out there. He said, son, that apple tree's in full bloom. He said, there's white rags all over that tree. And he said, there's an old man and woman standing out there with a white sheet, waving that white sheet. Hallelujah. You know what it is? He is saying, come home. Come home. That's the way the Father is. The Father says, come home. Come home back. Amen. No matter how far you strayed, come home. Let's look at his steps down. Amen. Self-will. The step of self-will is a step of downward away from God. Where we want our own way. Where we want what we want. The Bible says that he said, give me the portion of goods that belongeth to me. He had it made in the Father's house. He had all the biscuits and gravy he could ever desire. Amen. Had all the food he could ever desire. Amen. All the comforts of life he could ever want. But self-will got a hold of him. And he said, give me what is mine. You know, self-will will get a hold of a man or a woman. Amen. And drive them away from some of the most precious things in life. Amen. But I want what I want. I want what is mine. I want what I want. And nobody else can tell me because it's mine. Give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. Amen. Give me what is mine. Self-will. Amen. Look at this as it takes over him. His selfishness that takes over this man. This young man. Not only this self-will desire that causes him to look amen, into those coffers and say, half of that is mine, and I want it right now. It belongs to me. Amen. But the selfishness, he gathered all together. He gathered it to himself. Amen. Ain't it something how, amen, it can overtake a person, overtake us. Selfishness can overtake a person, and it is a step down. I want you to know, friend, today, amen, you are not your friend. Amen. You might think the preacher's not your friend. You might think, amen, that the whoever, you know, young people ain't in here today. There are some young people in here, but the children are over there. You might think your parents are not your friend, or amen, or this one or that one is not your friend. But I'll tell you what, amen, hallelujah, a true friend will tell you the truth. True friend, amen. Praise God, the Bible says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of the enemy are deceitful. Praise God. Lord, help us. Amen. He gathered all together. He got it together. He. This is mine. I can see him. Got his arms around it. Amen. Nobody. This doesn't belong to nobody. Amen. It's mine. And so he takes another step down with selfishness overtaking this young man. Then we look another step down, separation. He took his journey into a far country. Amen. There he goes. He separates himself from his friends and family and the life that he knew, and he goes into a far country. He goes way off. He goes, amen, I'm going to go and I'm going to live up life, and nobody's going to tell me what to do. Now, I heard about a little boy said he was going, when he turned 18, he was tired of people telling him what to do. He said, Mom and Dad, he said, when I turn 18, I'm joining the army because I'm tired of people telling me what to do. But separation, amen, sin separates. Sin breaks homes and marriages and children. Amen. Separates mothers from their babies. Separates fathers from their sons. Amen. Separates husbands and wives. Here he goes into this far country. Amen. And a step down. Oh, the separation that has taken place in many lives. Amen. All because of those steps of ruin that go down. Amen. And so there he goes and he leaves, and the father and the mother and the older brother and all of there at the old home place, all they see a boy's back, amen, as he never looks back, going, amen, and going and going. He's taking steps down. Does anybody know what I'm talking about today? Amen. That separation, that ruin in life, amen, where there used to be happiness, now, amen, there's separation. God help us to day. Amen. Look here. He said he wasted his substance. Amen. Sensuality takes over him. Amen. A lifestyle of waste takes over him. Now I want to tell you something today. Young person, brother or sister, a life of sin and sensuality and pleasures of this world is such a waste. I said it is such a waste. They take a life, take a young person, amen, take a young man, take a young woman whose life, amen, God has chosen, amen, to fill with happiness and have a family and raise children and do things for God, amen. They'll live a sensual lifestyle, and we'll look at them and say, what a waste. That's what he's doing in this far country. He's living a sensual lifestyle, and the scripture said he is wasting his substance. You really think he was just going out there and just throwing that money in the ditch or throwing it in a sewer pond? You think he was just going and taking and just beating it up and wasting it? No, he was wasting it at the bars. Pocket full of money. Going to the bar, having fun. He was wasting it, is what the Bible says. Come on now. How do you really think this boy lived when he was in the far country? He lived on the top of the world. But according to the scripture, he wasted it. All of the things that he wanted, he took it. He had the money. His pockets was jingling. Man, he had the friends. He had all that he wanted. I'm talking about popular, having it all, but it was a step down. And the Bible says he wasted it. I want to, amen, I don't want to take a lot of time here this morning right here on this, but I would like to get this across. If you could just pray for me right here, I would like for somebody to understand that if I gave you a pocket full of money and you went to Highway, amen, 80 or whatever on the bars or the strips or go, what is that, down there in Dallas, Harry Hines, and you, man, I'm talking about living it up. You know what God would say about it? God would say, what a waste. That's such a waste. Can I get a witness this morning? Can anybody look back at your life and say, look at how I have wasted? The world don't call it waste. The world calls it living it up. I'm talking about buying the booze. I'm talking about having the girls. I'm talking about having the relationship. I'm talking about buying whatever you wanted, have it all. I'm talking about nice and fine living, the world would say. But God says it's wasted. Anything that doesn't have God first in our life is a waste. Amen. Anything that doesn't have God at the priority is a waste. Sensuality. We live in a world of such sensuality. Man, people can't wait from Friday, get their paycheck. Amen. Hit the place on, you know, Friday night, Saturday night, Monday morning, they're already broke. Didn't even pay child support. Let alone take care of their own children. You know what God says about it? Waste. Buy them some drugs, buy them some pills, buy them, you know, this, that, or the other, a little bit of pleasure. If you was to talk to them and say, man, I'm having fun. What does the Bible say about it? The Bible says it is a waste. It ain't no different than you taking that money right out there on that porch and lighting it up and burning it up right in front of us all. No different to God. And if you go out for the weekend and have, you know, whatever, booze or drugs or whatever it is, it ain't no different. My God, help us today, a step down. Look at this, spiritual destitution. He spent all. There's a famine. I want you to know something. When you have spent it all, you'll realize there's really a famine in that land. There's really a dryness in that land. There's really an emptiness in that land. We went, when we had the girls, we took them up to Bristow Camp to, amen, one day, and Brother Pascarella was preaching. He told a story. I actually had to go look it up, amen, try to find, investigate a little bit, but was it Madeline Murray O'Hare? Everybody knows that name? He said she had a son named Bill Murray. Amen, Bill Murray is actually a preacher. I've never heard this before, but I went and looked it up. He is actually a preacher in America today. He is her son. He said, I was walking down the road, amen, and I was so empty. He said, I was so broken. He said, I was so disgusted. He said, I was walking down the road, amen. His mother here, you know, how y'all know what she done, you know, getting all these things taken out of school, different, you know, things through the Supreme Court and all. He said, I was walking down the road, and he said, I walked in a bookstore, and he said, I saw a Bible. And he said, I think I bought that Bible out of rebellion. I think he said they paid 50 cents for that Bible. Just pennies, you know, bought this Bible. Madeline Murray O'Hare's son buys this Bible. Amen. Goes back home and begins to read it and got saved. He said, I know this may sound bizarre. He said, but I went to church. He said, to get saved. He said, never once knowing or realizing or thinking it was Mother's Day. He got saved on Mother's Day. Hallelujah. Amen. But I'm talking about spiritual destitution. Amen. Why do those, commit suicide? Why, when they've got it all, have it made? Amen. Spiritual destitution because there's a famine in the land. Amen. Think about this. This self-abasement. You see it. The steps down doesn't stop. They keep going. Amen. He goes to self-abasement and he goes and feeds the swine. Here is a young man, amen, that was taught to stay away from swine because a Jewish boy, amen, and here he is wallowing around in the swine, amen, wondering why he's there all the way down. Then finally starvation. He's so hungry he wants to eat the swine food. My, what steps down is the steps of ruin in a person's life. I don't want to leave you there. If you can imagine, it steps down and then it steps back up. Amen. When we go down in the valley, there's another mountain to climb. We just got to keep on going. Looky here. Amen. The Bible said when he came to himself, the seven steps of reconciliation. Hallelujah. He realized. He came to himself. And a step up is first to realize where we are. Realization, snap, wake up. When will we wake up? When will you wake up? When will we wake up? When will we come to ourselves? When we realize he came to himself in a pig pen? He realized. There was a realization. I'm talking about seven steps back up. You know, if I put a ladder. Hallelujah. He realized. What I was going to say about a ladder is, if I'm going to climb a ladder up here, I have to start somewhere. I have to. If I'm going to get to the top of this, get up here and change a light bulb or something, they'd say, well, that first step don't even matter. You know, it's only this high off the ground. Yes, it does matter. It's the most important one in some cases. You've got to get started. Matter of fact, every step is important. But you have to start somewhere. We get in our mind, this finish is all that matters, but the start is so important. He came to himself. He's sitting here smelling like pigs, starving to death. And he realized. He woke up. A lot of people have woke up too late, but it's not too late this morning if you're away from God to wake up. It's not too late this morning if you're away from home to wake up. It's not too late to realize, to snap out, wake up. Amen. It's high time that we awake out of our sleep, the Bible says. Amen. He realized he had a resolution. I know we always talk about New Year's resolution. Amen. But I wish somebody would get a new life resolution this morning and say like this prodigal son, I will arise. Amen. I'm going to arise and go to the Father. Amen. And I'm going to say, Father, I've sinned. You realize this morning he was sitting in a nasty pig pen and he made a resolution. Somebody said, I don't believe in jailhouse religion. I believe in jailhouse religion. I've been right there when people's on the bottom. And they make a resolution. How long is it going to last? Somebody was talking to me the other day saying something about someone said, even those, they said, well, I wonder how long it will last. Said, I'm still saved today. But he's in a pig pen, a nasty, filthy pig pen, and he makes a resolution. Somebody said, I'm not going to make a resolution right now because I'm on the bottom. I'm going to wait. My God, it's a step up. I know the second rung on the ladder, we hardly ever stop there. And we don't want to stop there. But the second rung is just as important. Amen. In our walk with God. Hallelujah. Amen. Many times we think on the ladder, it's only the first step and the last step that we need. But we need every step in between to get to the top. If I brought a ladder in here going to climb the top of that roof and I only had one rung on the bottom and one rung on the top and said, well, all that matters is that I get saved and go to heaven. You know, Jesus lived for 3.5 years on this earth. Actually, 33. He ministered for 3.5 years. And we have such strict an awesome reality writing about his lifestyle. Why didn't he just be born and then they kill him? Die. Why did he walk? Why did he show us how to walk? Because you need more than the first step and the last step. You come down here and get saved this morning, you got to live for God the rest of your life. Or you won't make it to heaven. Somebody tells us this hogwash, you come down here and say 5 words and shed 7 tears, or 13 words and 5 tears, and no matter what you do, you can even murder people and you'll still go to heaven. You believe that hogwash? It's not in the Bible. We're going to be judged according to our works. God help us this morning. Y'all backing up on me, you know, sometimes. We need every step on the ladder. He realized. He made a resolution. He said, I'm going to repent. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as a hired servant. Did you catch that? When he left, he said, give me. When he come back, he said, make me. Did y'all catch that this morning? There's a difference in give me and make me. Amen. We're constantly saying, give me, give me, give me, God. Why don't we say, make me, make me, make me. Give me a blessing. Make me a blessing. Give me joy. Make me joyous. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're always wanting something for God to give us. Amen. But when he came back home, he said, God, make me. Why? Because he was taking steps up instead of taking steps down. Now I pray today right here in this service that somebody, a man or woman, brother, sister, instead of making steps downward, would make steps upward. Are you here this morning? You say, I'm tired of taking steps down. I'm tired of going away from God. I'm tired of disappointing myself, my family, my friends, and God. Amen. I want to climb the ladder up. I want to go higher with God. Repentance, and then he returned. Hallelujah. And the Bible said, and he arose and came to his Father, I don't care if you're in a jail cell. I don't care if you're in a hospital bed. I don't care if you're sitting in this church house feeling well this morning and everything fine. You got to come to the Father. You can't just say, I'm going to do better. You got to repent and come to God. We have to get right with God. We got to repent of our sins. We've got to confess our sins. Amen. Somebody said, why confess when God knows all things? I can't understand it all. Amen. But I can tell you right now, the Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He didn't say confess them to the preacher. He didn't say confess them to the priest. He didn't say confess them to the Pope. Amen. Somebody needs to tell the Pope. He needs to confess his sins too. But if we confess them to God, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He returned. He was reconciled. He was reclothed. He was rejoicing. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. 7 steps down. Here's a young man that has it made in the Father's house. And 7 steps later, he's in a pig pen, walling around with pigs. Not one friend to help him. Amen. Nobody to help him. Amen. But here, take it this way. There's a young man far from home, sitting in a pig pen. Amen. Starving to death. And 7 steps later, amen, he's got a full belly, a new robe, amen, rejoicing music playing, and the Father right by his side. There's 7 steps down, but there's 7 steps up, and we can make it back home. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They said in Brazil, there was a young lady went, left her mother, went and lived the wild life, lived a horrible life of sin. Some time passed, that mother's heart started throbbing. She began to get concerned about her daughter. She thought, if I go to the big city from this village, how in the world will I ever find my daughter? she goes and she takes a picture of herself and prints as many as her money can give her and gets a picture of herself. She goes to the big city and down there, Brazil. She's out in the village. She goes to the big city. She finds out, where's the low class? Where's the prostitutes? Where's the drug houses? Where's the bad part of town? They look at her funny, but they tell her. She begins to walk through there, and every bar she enters, she finds some place where people would see, and she takes a tack, and she puts a picture of herself. She finds motels. She finds all these dirty, nasty places in this town, and every motel she had taken put pictures of herself with a tack on somewhere on the bulletin or on the door somewhere where they would see it. One day here comes in this girl, comes in this motel. A man comes in, is there for just a little time, wasting her life. Amen. As she begins to leave, she walks out and she stops. There's a wallet-sized picture standing there. She looks at it. She gets closer. She says, that is my mother. She backs up and she goes to the clerk and she says, where did you get that picture? I don't know. It's just there. Who brought that picture here? I don't know. Did you see who brought it? No. Where did it come from? I don't know. She goes back and looks at that picture. She pulls the picture off and looks at it. She flips it over and it says, I still love you. Come home. And I know you may be away from God this morning. I know you may be far from God this morning. But there's a picture. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ has brought a picture this morning of Himself. If you could just see. If you could just look, if you could just realize, amen, I know there may be those you have taken the seven steps down. There may be somebody here, a young person or something, that the devil's trying to get you to take the seven steps down or the steps away from God. Hallelujah. And it's more than seven steps. Seven is God's number of completion. Hallelujah, there's hundreds of thousands of steps. But I want you to know, if you come back to God, hallelujah, He's waiting, and He saw the prodigal when he was a great way off. And he ran, and he met him. He fell on his neck. Hallelujah, and he kissed him. The Lord is saying, come home. Sister Bethany is going to come play for us this morning. An artist one time drew a picture of a chess game. And in this portrait of this chess game, the artist drew himself playing chess. And the competitor, the one he's playing against, the competition, is the devil. And the title of the picture, you've heard it before, the title of the picture is called Checkmate. It was a famous picture, and it's hanging in a gallery. I believe it's in London, and they're taking a tour. And this world champion chess player is on this tour going through looking at this art. He's with the crowd, and he comes upon this painting called Checkmate. He begins to study it and begins to look. The tour kind of moves on just a little ways, and he stands and he gets close and he studies the picture. The painter playing chess with the devil. I want you to know, young person, you can't play with the devil. And in this portrait, this painter paints himself playing with the devil, chess. And he titles the picture, the portrait, Checkmate. This famous chess player begins to say, it's not true. It's not true. It's not true. As this man in this portrait has sweat pouring down his face, a look of despair on his face, the devil's got a look of glee. His eyes are bright and he's looking.
He's happy. Amen. The man that's playing the devil is under all types of despair. He feels as he paints himself that the devil has beat him in the game he was playing. But the chess, amen, master, or this chess professional chess player begins to say, it's not true. It's not true. It's not true. They come to him. What is it? What? He said, it's not checkmate. It's not checkmate. He said, he calls the painter's name. He said he has one move left. Hallelujah. He thought it was over, but he had one move left. And you may be here this morning and you think it's over. You think it's over for your family. You think it's over with your children. You think it's over in your life. Oh, God, help me this morning. Amen. But you got one move left, and that is to count. Amen. That's back to God. Hallelujah. That's back to the Lord. Amen. It's not checkmate in your life yet. Amen. God said, I'm going to give you another chance. Hallelujah. God said, I'm going to give you another opportunity. Amen. You may have taken steps away from God. Amen. But God's going to use those same feet that walked away from Him to come back to Him. Hallelujah. Can we stand together this morning as Sister Bethany plays? Is there somebody here today in this house? You say, Brother Sam, I'm away from God. I'm not right with God. I'm away from God this morning. I'm away from God. I'm not right with God. Would you just lift your hand up and say, Brother Sam, pray for me, would you? Would you please pray for me? Yes, son. I see that hand. God loves you. Yes, sir. Yes, son. Yes, ma'am. Yes, son. I see that hand. Yes, sir. God loves you. Hallelujah. See that hand. There's hands going up all over this place. People that feel. Hallelujah. Maybe in the pig pen this morning. Maybe away from God this morning. I want you to know that God stands with His arms outstretched, saying, come home. Come home. I don't want to keep you standing. I don't want to wear you out this morning. You need to come back to God. Maybe you know how to pray. You know how to serve God. You know how to live. But sin is separating. Sin has caused you. Sin has caused you to wind up in a place where you never wished you would be. You're here this morning, you raised your hand for prayer. Maybe you didn't raise your hand for prayer. But you need help from God. I'd like to pray with you. I'd like to take time to pray with you. Why don't you take one more step further? Step out and come down here and pray. That's right. Build this altar. Hallelujah, Jesus. You raised your hand. Hallelujah, Jesus. Said, I want prayer, church. I need you to help me pray today. I'm asking for your help today, church. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Anyone else, you raise your hand today. You want to take time to pray. I want to pray for you today. No matter your need, I want to pray for you. There's others. Come on, take that next step. Take that next step. Come home. Oh, come home. Come home, earnestly, Jesus Christ, all your sin. Come home.